WWA, mobile.
Morning from WS8D.
Can you give me that call one more time? WS8. Didn't quite catch rest.
Well, there wasn't much else to catch. Whiskey Sugar 8 Delta. Name here is Mike, and just kind of hanging at home.
A beautiful day for it, KN4VWA, Steve. And I'm over here in downtown Greer, headed back home to Inman. I just went out and I'm $1,500 lighter on some tires.
Ow. What the heck did you buy?
A 2500 diesel, a newer one, and got tires for it, and I went ahead and prepaid for a set of tires on my wife's car, on her Cadillac, so I gotta go get it now and come back and have them put on.
Explains the price tag then. Yeah, I've gotta get a couple of tires for my Jeep. I've got a Jeep Liberty here. And the back tires look good, but they're older than snot.
Tell you what, what's your QTH?
I'm in Campobello.
Well, I tell you what, I don't know how Cherokee is, but I've heard that they're real good. You know, that's the fellas down there, I believe it's 292 and 176 there on the corner. Or right, you know, right there next to the McDonald's. And there's somebody else there in town that's supposed to be real, real, real economical.
It's worth checking out. I've only been in this area for a couple of months, so I don't know where a lot of stuff is. There's kind of a tire place down on 176 here that it's like a really old building falling apart, and they're always, you know, stacking tires up outside the door. But I haven't gone in there and checked it out yet.
That's on the corner there at 292 and 176.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure where 292 is.
Well, that's the big traffic light right there at the McDonald's.
Nope, no McDonald's. This is up toward Landrum.
We're talking about. Yeah, it's in a really old building that looks like it's just beat to death. And they move a lot of tires in and out of there. And I understand their prices are real good, but and you'd probably do just fine on that Jeep Liberty. I've got plans to travel a good bit, so I went ahead and went with Discount Tire, and I was really surprised. They beat my usual guy's prices.
It's AD. Yeah, I've used Discount Tire quite a bit. Yeah, this little place down on 176, I mean, they might have good prices, but are they going to be there in 2 days?
That's the question. And I tell you, they've been there for years and years and years and years. They've been there for years and years and years. But, you know, who knows? They may be gone tomorrow.
Worth checking out. They're close by. They're only about 5 miles from me, if that. So I'll have to spin in there and see what they've got.
Not that far apart, then. Do you know New Cut Road?
It is down towards Spartanburg from me. Not that far. I don't know, 10 miles.
Road dead ends there at Highway 11. And if you turn down New Cut Road there at Highway 11, I am 4 miles south on New Cut.
Okay, I'm right off of 11. I'm right in between 11 and 176, half a mile from my house in either direction, and I'm on one or the other.
There you go. Yep. Well, do you do HF?
Yes, sir. Sitting here listening to some guys chewing the fat on 80 meters right now. I haven't joined in, but Yeah, I just got an antenna up not too long ago, and playing with my Yaesu FTDX 3000, and just watching the meter bounce back and forth.
Dana, what kind of antenna did you put up?
Just got the UHF VHF antenna up. I've got a 30-foot of conduit that I bolted together and got that attached to the side of the shed out back. And I've got a wire up in the trees for HF. Not even a good dipole, but it was the best I could do.
I've got a 50-foot tower up, and I've got a Cushcraft D4 rotatable dipole up the top of that, and I got a 6-meter beam on top of that. So it does okay, but that's only good 40 to 10, and then I've got a Maxcon inverted V for my 80 meter and down.
I'd love to put a tower up. I've got 60 foot of really old Heights tower sitting on my other property out, well, under the house. And it's so old I don't trust putting it up anymore. It's got to be a 40-year-old tower. So one of these days I'll get a tower up. How's the activity on 6 right now?
Honest with you, I really don't do much more than FT8 on 6. That's what my antenna's tuned for. You know, and it does okay.
I haven't up and looked at 6 meters in a while. I seldom hear much above 20 meters. Just screwing around here listening. But 6 can be a lot of fun when it opens up.
Oh, yeah, I've made some great contacts on 6. But, you know, it's pretty much seasonal, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And this ain't the season.
You're right. Well, so how far a contact have you made? Now, your call is, what'd you say it was now? It's an 8?
Yeah, originally licensed up north of Detroit. Not even sure how many years ago, 30 plus years ago, and moved to South Carolina about 15 years ago. I've got DXCC. I stopped updating that quite a while ago, so been around for a bit. I should join QCWA.
K4VWA. There's a DX club here in that meets up in Greer. I could sure put you on to them.
It was worth a shot. What the heck? I was part of Semdexta, the Southeast Michigan DX club, years ago. And yeah, I chase DX when I hear it, but I'm not chasing cards or anything.
And I'm just a hobbyist. I'm just out there for fun. And but I tell you what, I've made some really good contacts. Last year I picked up South Orkney down in Antarctica, and I picked up Ellesmere Island up in the Canadian North in the polar desert. I've got some pretty good shots, including South Africa down on the tip.
Years ago, I was trying to reach the one of the stations in South America. Yeah, South America. Try that again. Antarctica. And there was a guy there trying to talk to his wife, and they couldn't hear each other, so I was the intermediary relaying the data between the two. That was kind of fun.
Oh, great. Really helped them out. Hey, have you ever picked up any commercial jet traffic?
Listen to some, but that's it. I don't get too nuts with it because it's kind of boring.
What? The two calls that actually shocked me the most, I picked up contact with this guy, and I said, well, so, what is your QTH? He says, about 35,000 feet at about 450 miles an hour over, right now, Kansas City. Okay.
That one back. Many years ago, I did talk to a guy, private pilot, who was going over Michigan, and he was just in a single, single engine, small airplane. But talked to him for a good little bit while he was flying over the area.
Hey, the other one that I really caught me by surprise was I made a contact with this fella, and he had this. Let's put it this way. I picked up right away that he was what the Canadians call a hoser. He was definitely Canadian. And I said, well, okay, so that's good contact. So what's your QTH? He says, well, I'm going to be a little bit in and out. We're fixing to pass some city up there. I forget what it was. But he was on an ore freighter. And he had a little bit of downtime, and he was on the HF on the ore freighter on Lake Ontario.
To run across odd things on HF or even VHF, but haven't talked to too many guys on the ship. I have spoken to guys out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean while they were, going from point A to point B. And some of the maritime stuff, it comes through really well. I mean, their signals are really great.
Hey, the guy that was on the ore carrier, on the ore ship, golly, I mean, it was like he was sitting in the chair beside me. And then all of a sudden, he just kind of, like when the band drops, he just dropped away. And then about 2 minutes later, he was right back in there.
Imagine you've got a pretty doggone good ground on that big damn boat in the salt water. So I think your antenna is going to work well there, no matter what it is.
Yep. Well, I'm just about to detonate up here. I'm headed back into the hacienda, and I gotta go in and take care of a couple of things and then go get my wife's car and take it over there and get the tires put on it. So I'm just having so much fun today. Getting a little better ride and bleeding a lot of cash. So anyhow, I enjoyed it. Hit me again out here sometime. Maybe we can set up, see if we can ground wave on HF at some point.
That sounds good, Steve. Well, hey, at least you're busy today. I've got to get cleaned up and go to the Kmart something in Greenville to get my second COVID shot today. That's around 2 o'clock, so I got time to mess around.
Oh, I saw that on the news yesterday evening. It's the old Kmart Plaza out there on, I believe that's Church Street, and near 85. And, boy, they had them lined up everywhere yesterday. Did you get your first one there?
No, I actually drove down to Columbia to the hospital down there. And they really did a really nice job of organizing. I walked in, got the shot, sat there for 15 minutes and left. It was quick and easy.
Wow, that's good. That's good. Well, did you have any after effects from the first shot?
Oh, not a thing. I felt the shot, and that was about it. That was the worst part of the whole thing.
Well, see, it made my wife works at an orthopedic clinic in Spartanburg, and her first shot, knocked her down for about 24 hours. But when she got the second shot, about 2 weeks ago, man, she was down from Friday until Monday evening, but she got up on Tuesday morning and everything was just absolutely hunky-dory again.
just metabolism or something. Again, I didn't have any after effects at all. And so I'm walking away thinking, what's the big deal here? This is simple.
Has some, they're relating it to blood type. And I believe it's type O blood has the greatest resistance to the COVID. And those with the type O blood also have the fewest number of reactions to the vaccine. And then everybody else, you know, just they get the worst of it.
And 0TR mobile.
Oh, no, they're with the neighborhood. Watch out for this guy. Oh, hey, Tom.
Good morning. I didn't hear the other gentleman's name or call, but I've heard him before. Well, yeah, Bernice and I didn't have any reaction to it. We had the Pfizer, and I know your wife had the Moderna, and I have O positive blood. So, but Bernice doesn't. She's got a rare one, kind of. What's yours, Bernice? B positive. Not real rare, but kind of. So anyways, the other gentleman to take it over, we're going to be on the road for a bit. We are headed to Spartanburg to go to Costco's and Sam's and then Costco's. And by the way, they move a lot of people through that Kmart Plaza very rapidly, very efficiently, and we didn't have any problem at all. This is N0TR.
8D. Name is Mike, by the way, and that's good to hear. I just want to go there, get the shot, and be done with it, and hopefully it goes real smooth.
In Columbia, where you got it, was it a Prisma facility?
Yes, it was. Man, I can't remember the name of the damn hospital, but yeah, it was really easy to get to, but it was a 100-mile drive from here.
It's a Prisma facility in Greenville that's running that one also. Hopefully, they will be as efficient as Columbia, you know, since it's part of the same organization.
Find out today, one way or the other.
Yeah, Prisma down there. It is absolutely a humongous facility, so they can really move a lot through there. We went in and sit down at a table, signed her name. They moved us to the next table, got our vaccination, moved us over to the chair, said, sit there for 15 minutes, we didn't turn your chair.
Have you heard it?
When we went to the Kmart Plaza, you went in, sit down at a table, wrote your name and a couple of things on it, and then went to another table, got the vaccination, and then went sit down in a chair. When you left, you turned your chair around after 15 minutes and left, and that was it.
First there. Hey, Mike, what did you say?
When you guys were talking a minute ago, it was a perfect train wreck. I couldn't pull either of you out. You were both going on at the same time, about the same level of RF.
Okay. Well, listen, I hope I catch you on here again very soon. And now, do you know about the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society net? That they do at 9 o'clock at night on this frequency?
Yeah, I have checked that out a couple of times. Thanks for the chat, Steve. I'll certainly look forward to hearing from you again. And I'm going to have to run out of here and let the dog out before he does something bad.
Yep, be ahead of the wave on that. All right, I'll talk to you soon, and hopefully we can see if we can do a little ground wave. And you have a good afternoon, Mike. Tom, don't run over anybody out there. Take it easy. K4 VWA, I'm clear.
Okay, Mike, 73 WSAD sign, this is N0TR. Was you working today, Steve, if you're still there?
Out bleeding cash. I bought two sets of tires today for a little over $1,500.
Down here in South Carolina, I heard that. Yeah, Yeah, we get Michelins every time, and they're very proud of them.
Gushing blood, then. They wanted $1,300 for a set of Michelins to go on this truck. And Michelin makes a great product. You cannot fault them in any way, shape, or form, but doggone. I just bought American-made, American-owned Cooper ATs for $850 for the same mileage-rated tire. 60,000-mile tires. And, I just could not justify moving on up on that.
Let me just sign out real quick. Have a good day, guys. Whiskey Sugar 8 Delta.
Stay in a safe day. Steve, I think you made a wise decision there. Cooper tires are great tires, and you drive a whole lot more than Bernice and I do, so we don't suffer the pain quite as often.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I will tell you this. The first set of tires that came on this thing was Generals, and I didn't get 23,000 miles out of them. That was pathetic.
Back home, when we drove mostly in town and there was a stop sign at every corner, that's about the mileage we get out of a set of tires. But down here we do appreciably better. It's not quite as much stop and go what we do, and that makes a big difference.
All right, well, time out destination, buddy. Then I got to go get my wife's car. And I will talk to you again soon. In the meantime, Bernice, keep them straight. 73, K4 VWA. I'm clear.
I hope I'm straight. I'm too old to be anything else. Old-fashioned, redneck, narrow-minded, 73, Steve. This is N0TR.
For NNR.
And H listening.
How you doing today? Good sunny day, and just trying to get out and chat with everybody on the radio.
I was trying to join in a little bit on that conversation. That's about H up. I heard them talk about six mirror. Honestly, well, I call it the magic band. It's like in and out, and every time it's open, I'm not able to join in on it.
Sure.
I'm like, dang, well, maybe I should go get some Coopers myself.
Now, earlier, and all, I had to run a little bit, but yeah, I work for Michelin, and Michelin does make a good tire, but they are kind of pricey, you know. If I didn't work here and get a little bit of a discount, I probably wouldn't put them on my car, but they do a lot of research. I mean, they do make really good tires.
N0TR. Good morning, gentlemen. And I can understand not being able to join in on the conversation there. Steve is known for being extremely quick on the trigger. And we all do that and abuse it at times on the repeater. We should wait a couple of seconds between transmissions. And I'm 73 years old and I still forget about it and do it. But Steve's a quick draw. My name's Tom. I'm mobile out here with my wife, and we're headed towards Spartanburg on this beautiful morning, and it's 57 degrees. The other gentleman, go ahead and take it. This is N0TR, Tom.
For NNH, my name is Fred. I'm currently in the Tulsa area. Unfortunately, I'm not actually able to walk outside of my radio. It's more of a base station, but I got the windows open. The weather is pretty nice, though.
My name is Jerry, KO4NNR. I'm on a mobile right now. I actually work for Michelin. I'm at Michelin now. I'm actually on a mobile. I do fire EMS and law enforcement for them, so I'm a little fortunate to be out riding around with the windows down and a beautiful day like it is today and kind of get on the air and talk to some new people.
Jerry, well, kudos to you. I just look at it like this. How much is my family's life worth? And how much is even my life worth? And we're in a Toyota Avalon now, but it's a 2011. But I just like very much and trust very much the Michelins. I used to work in a wheel plant back in Kansas. It was Superior Wheels, and I worked there 4 years before they shut it down and sent it to Mexico, of course. And I saw the kind of testing they did with brand new tires, and they would put them in this big machine. It was all fenced in, and they'd run them until they destroyed themselves. And the main idea was to see how much the wheel would take, of course, because that's what we manufactured, from 55 to 80,000 wheels a month for General Motors and different big car factories and that, all the way up through the Hummer. So I know what can happen when you have a blowout. The first one they blowed out, and I was underneath a helium leak detector. I about busted my head. I jumped so high. And the next gentleman, give me your name again and back up just a little bit from your microphone. It's a little hot. This is N0TR.
NNH, this is Fred coming from the Pelza area. Yeah, I actually know. The funny thing is, y'all talking about tires and everything. Where I actually work at is actually Magna Drive. We actually make the doors and all sorts of stuff for the vehicles, actually, like the big 18-wheeler Peterbilt and Kenworth, funnily enough. So I have an idea what's involved with how to prevent the blowouts from really hurting those doors.
Like I said, I work here at Michelin. I'm very fortunate. I get to see the manufacturer making the tires, which they make about 25 to 26,000 tires a day here in at this plant, and which is pretty significant. But I also get to see the research side, and we have about 45 bomb shelters that they test tires around the clock to failure, like you were saying. And so they buy everybody's tires and compare them to them, and we also have, I don't know if you noticed, a bunch of cars running around the upstate and all that in line, like trucks and cars that look identical with. That's usually Michelin having one of our tires and competitive tires and actually doing road tests. So Michelin does a lot of testing on tires. They're pricey, but they're well worth it if you can afford them.
TR with the man on the mountain. Well, yeah, it's unbelievable the amount of testing they do and the size of them. In the machine shop I worked at for 32 years, we made the large tire molds and the tire mold inserts for Goodyear for many, many years. And some of them were as big as 24 foot across. And I thought that was big until my son-in-law's uncle, John Funky, he worked there. He was an executive there in the earth-moving area. And he sent me some pictures from Las Vegas at a show that Michelin went to there of some of the size of the tires. And I know half a mold on that big French mill that we had weighed 50,000 pounds. So I can't imagine how big the tire molds must have been just to manufacture those ones like they use in, say, for example, mining and copper mining and coal mining and all that. It's just unbelievable what they can do. And Michelin's a good company. Go ahead, Fred, I think it was.
Fred, I'm actually thoroughly surprised. I've actually never been in a tire plant before. Like I said, I've actually only been in plants that built parts for like doors and John Deere's, Hondas, and all sorts of stuff, mainly like the lawnmowers. And for now, it's the only place that builds like the 18-wheeler stuff, and it's absolutely insane. I mean, the amount of detail, especially the amount of quality control over where I work, man, it is absolutely nuts, especially with the amount of things that they expect out of our robots. Funnily enough, I'm actually a robot technician over there, but figure I pick up AM radio, so why not?
Pretty neat, yeah, those big tires you're talking about. We we have two of them here in South Carolina that make those tires. The main plant that makes the earth moving tires is in Lexington, and they just reopened a new sister plant in Star over in Anderson and all. But they pretty massive. They ship them out six tires at a time, and they range about anywhere from 80 to about $140,000 a piece for those tires. And we have a couple of them here for display and stuff. It's pretty unique to see all of it.
We had laboratories and everything in that wheel plant, and it's amazing what they go through to make a wheel. It's not just aluminum. It's a lot of it was very secretive on top of that. There was areas you just didn't ask about. But I worked on a German helium leak detector, and the robots would send in a wheel, and this drum would come down around it, and it would put a massive suction on that wheel, trying to suck helium through the porosity of the metal itself. And they said it could take it would detect a leak in that wheel that would take your tire 7 years before it went flat. So that's how minute some of that stuff was. They had a mass spectrometer that looked at that for a sample of helium, and helium's like one electron, one proton, or something like that. It's very small, and it was an amazing machine to work on. Those Germans, they build some machinery. Go ahead, Jerry. This is 02.
It's kind of unique, and all. We have a bunch of ozone layered cells. We do all kind of things. We import all over the world, different roads from Germany, everywhere. We do gravel roads, tests. We do all kinds of stuff. They simulate basically any atmosphere that we sell tires in to failure to see, and that's how they actually tell you how long they last and stuff like that. But ultimately, it's up to the customer to maintain and align and balance the tires. That's the life of your tires. I mean, you can sell a perfect tire, but if you don't upkeep anything, it'll fail out quicker than anything else.
That actually sounds absolutely wild. I've never heard of how they set the tires and all that. I find that absolutely amazing, especially how far we've come. I can only imagine what they're doing now to set the tires.
And the personnel supervisor told me one day, he says, "Tom, we're more scared of a wheel getting out of here that's bad than we are of somebody stealing a set of wheels," which that never happened, I can guarantee you, with their security. And I said, "Why is that?" And he says, "Well, look at Firestone and what happened to them when they let a few tires get out of there." Go ahead, Fred.
I can only imagine how it was in terms of the quality control and inspection. That is, that thoroughly impresses me, honestly.
This plant up here, they hand inspect every tire as it comes out. So they visually look at every one of them, they x-ray every tire, and then they re-hand inspect every one of them before they load them. And believe it or not, we make about 26,000 tires a day up here for light truck duty tires. And they probably throw away, I'd say, anywhere from 500 to 800 tires a day from just minor flaws. Michelin's big on anything that's wrong with it, they will not send it out because, one tire can make a bad reputation. So we scrap about 500 to 800 tires a day on the line that's brand new.
And they just, the robot would either clear them or they would go back to melt, and then they would melt them again and recycle them. But that gets very expensive. But there was more robots in there you can shake a stick at. And I worked on a few of those briefly. in machining centers, just one after another after another, that done one specific operation on each one of the wheels. It was a pretty fascinating and a learning experience for me to see that. I'd always dreaded going to work out there, but I got laid off at the job before that at a printing plant, and I had not a lot of choice, and they called me, so I went ahead and went. That made it a lot easier. Guys, we're just about here and getting into traffic. I really enjoyed talking with you all this morning, and I'm sorry we were quick on the trigger there earlier, and I need to try to watch that too, but y'all doing a great job. Here we are in Spartanburg, nearing Sam's 73, and this is NZLTR, clear.
Part of Spartanburg, on a fest. One time I dread going to Stair to Greenville. I much rather go to Greenville more than anything, but that's just me and my opinion. Hey, I'll flip around on the repeater, why not? KO4, in an H. Have a good day in Spartanburg, and like I said, I'll be here most of the day today. Standing by. Jerry, you're still there, right? That's affirmative. Oh, question. Do they have any type of robotics over there at Michelin? I'm honestly asking out of curiosity.
I'm sorry, I didn't copy what you asked.
Do they happen to have any type of robotics, like Bannett, Cuckoo, or something like that?
Robotics and all? Like robots and stuff? Is that what you did?
Bannett, Cuckoo, or something like that. Like I said, I'm asking out of curiosity.
Robots in there that does certain things. A lot of us all hand on. We pretty much have manpower doing most of it. All the robotics we have is actually palletizing tires once they inspect everything, and I don't know what brand they are or whatnot, but 95-98% of everything here is actually hands-on inspected and verified.
Honestly, because I do a Fanix mainly, and I very rarely do a Cougars, but if I do, I do, and it's only a disaster.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
It's crazy, though. You say all your stuff's hand-inspected. Well, okay, we pretty much don't really inspect. It's more or less the robots moving around the parts, and we got the inspection stations, but they only really look for a high and low spot. They can't really inspect, like, the glue patches or anything like that we got at my job.
They always want to do stuff better and this and that. So they've tried different robots for different things, but they do really well. But, you know, anything that could fail, and like I say, Michelin's big on making sure they have quality tires coming out. So, I mean, they love to hand inspect them, and they x-ray them and stuff like that. They do a lot of tests. I mean, it's amazing. Actually, we've been watching. You know, when I first got here, I thought, you know, you just pulled rubber in a mold and made a tire, but that's nowhere near how you make a tire.
You're getting a little staticky there. I don't know if it's on my end or not, but I'm very thoroughly impressed. I mean, we got robots that do inspect the parts, but there's only so much you can really do, you know? I mean, I got robots and cameras on it, but there's always bad parts to get through somehow, but I understand that with points of failure.
For sure. How long you been doing the ham stuff?
I've been a ham radio operator since March 1st. Just got my antennas up this past Friday night, actually. Kind of being over by my father, Kilo India 4, Mike Romeo Alpha, but he doesn't really get on these bands much. He's more of an HF guy.
I tested for my tank back, I think it's February the 9th, and it took a little while to get my license or get my ham call sign and all, and I've been doing CB and stuff for a long time, and finally decided to bite the bullet and jump on the hand wagon and all, and I like it. You know, I didn't realize as much as out there as it is, and I still got a lot to learn for sure.
Hey, sure, honestly. I'm still trying to figure out how to do the 2 meter or the UHF, VHF stuff. I'm hoping to eventually get on the HF. Got an antenna eventually built, possibly this weekend, and hang. Hoping to get on at least here to 10 meter band, maybe get on it with FT. I don't know yet.
Yeah, right now I'm on a, it's a little cheap radio. I didn't want to spend a whole lot of money and, you know, not sure if I like it or not. So I just bought this little 25 watt, it's a QYT mobile radio, and I'm able to transfer it into my work vehicle and kind of talk on it while I'm working a little bit here and there, and I enjoy it. You know, I'll probably buy something a little better later, but so far this is getting out pretty good.
Pretty good. My S meter on my Yaesu FT991A, you're actually hitting in with, looks like about 11 watts, and about, S meter is calling about 6, which that's pretty good on my radio at least. But like I said, I'm kind of new to the hobby, so I don't know if that's the best. But you're coming in pretty clear on my end, just a little bit of static in the background.
Considering, what I'm looking at and all online and all, it looks like the repeater is roughly about 15 miles away from me, up on Paris Mountain, and it seems like it's doing pretty good.
Pretty clear now, but yeah, like I said, that you're actually coming in pretty clear, at least from the repeater. I can only imagine if we were actually talking to each other. I'm actually trying to, actually, if I remember correctly, I set my RF power to 50 watts, so how am I coming in for you?
I think at the beginning, you was, like you said, you was a little close to the mic. It sounded like you was over-extorting a little bit, but you sound really good now.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out the microphone situation. Even though I got a microphone at work, I'm still, one of the things I'm still trying to figure out how to do.
Yeah, I've been in emergency service most of my life, so, you know, people don't understand you don't have to have it on your lips a little bit or nothing like that. You know, you can have it away from you and all, and you get it too close to you, your voice gets kind of loud and it kind of sorts everything out. So you kind of get used to it and back up and go with it.
Yeah, Fred, it's in zero to you for just a second here. You go into your menu and look at the deviation and just turn it down some. It'll turn your mic gain down for you some, Fred.
To find that, actually I'm not familiar with you quite yet. If y'all give me a little bit of time, I'll try to find that real quick. But I'll be listening in while y'all talk.
Oh, you're not horrible. It's just that when you get time, go into the menu and look for that, look in your book, and just set it down to half deviation or something like that. All right, guys, I got to get out of the car. I stopped and got gas. It's N0TR73, clear.
12, man.
This is KO4NNR.
If you hop off the repeater now, this is KO4NH, 73 to everybody, and I'm clear.
Yeah, four. Talk to you later, Fred. Appreciate y'all talking and everything. And 73 to y'all, and this is KO4NNR.